Network all across the USA, 800-288-9227. Welcome to Ask the Law with Trooper Monty Dial, retired. I'm Gary McNamara, along with Eric Harley.
All right, we'll get to more of your calls in just a moment. I want to remind you that we are live on December 1st, 2008. You may be listening to a repeat, but this information is up to date as of December 1st, 2008, and can change without notice. And again, as Gary mentioned, we are with retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol. Ask the Law is a service of Old Blue USA. AskTheLaw.org is the website. Go there and send them your questions. They'll get back with you.
Is your headphone volume okay?
Yes.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Okay, our deluxe studios in Arlington, Texas, and if you look at our company's stock, you'll know why the following is true and is happening. We bring Monty in. Now, in the past, Monty was here with R.J. Taylor of Old Blue USA. They had their own studios where they could spread out, and they had laptop space and everything else. And now that it's just Trooper Dial, who is works as a volunteer for Old Blue USA, now that he's retired, he comes into our studio. Well, he comes in. This is the first time, I think, in a long, long years that you've been in this studio. I don't know. Have you ever been in this studio?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, years ago.
Back years, it was in 99, 2000.
Yeah, yeah.
When my sergeant and I were here.
Right, yeah.
And then Gary came on board, and RJ and I then got pushed into the other studio.
We were just getting rid of RJ, just to be honest. We have to be honest about that. But we bring you into our studio for the first time in years, and we plug in your headphones, and nothing. There's nothing there. You can't hear a thing. And it turns out that the jack is messed up, and so Gary lets Trooper Dial use his jack,
and
then I have to plug Gary into the phone jack of the CD player.
And so I'm adjusting my volume here as we're going on. I'm like, oh my, I'm raising the volume of Monty's headphones.
Our company is the third largest radio company in the nation. I just want to say that. We make hundreds of millions of dollars.
And that with 50 cents will what?
We'll get you 40 shares of stock. It actually will.
Or a tenth of a cup of coffee at Starbucks.
That's right. 800-288-9227. But we are here answering your questions. Let's get back to them. By the way, we will be doing this. Ask the Law is now a regular feature on our show every first Monday. Let's get back to your calls.
Let's go to Leo in New Mexico on 82. Leo, you're on the Midnight Radio Network, and you're on with Trooper Dial. Welcome. Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
We were getting a discussion about if you're driving, you have to show where you're at midnight and total the logbook up for that day. Is that correct?
Yes.
No matter where you're at, you're supposed to show where you're at midnight.
Well, what you need to do is just make sure that you plan a stop somewhere close to the next morning, then go back and total your hours.
Okay, I got stopped one time at 1 o'clock in the morning and got a ticket because he said I didn't stop at midnight and complete my logbook.
No, as long as you're, what you've got to understand is logs carry from one day to the next day to the next day to the next day.
Right.
And as long as your log is current to your last change, that's in part 395.8. It says that you can be 11 hours behind, as long as you can draw a straight line up to the time that you were stopped.
In other words, if he started driving 11 hours ago and he's pulled over, he starts driving and 10 hours and 55 minutes later he's pulled over, if he's been driving that whole time, that was his last change.
That was his last change, and his logbook is current.
Okay.
Now, don't go to California and do that, because they'll write you a big ticket, because
right.
California has their own state law that says that you have to be, it's either 2 or 4 hours within your last change.
That's what's confusing. The FCC used to run the interstate truckers. It still should be that way, but they changed all that. You know how it is.
Well, what California does is they have adopted all of the regulations as state law. And so they, that by doing it as a state law, then they get to go in there and write their little special deals.
Oh, okay. I see how that works. I didn't know that. I didn't even think that far.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call. We do appreciate that. 800-288-9227.
Gary on 15 in Nevada. Gary, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network, and you're on with retired trooper Monty Dial on Ask the Law. Hi, Gary.
Hey, good evening. I appreciate this segment you guys are doing. It's great. Hope I explain this right. If I go on, I'm driving for 8 hours and take a two-hour break and then come off and drive the rest of my 11 hours and then take another eight-hour break to complete my 10 hours, I can start driving another segment as long as I deduct that first 3 hours that I drove between the two and eight split?
That is correct.
Okay, my company's telling me I cannot do that.
No.
Want to see this.
What you have to do is if you drive, take the two, and you drive some more, the driving on either side of the two cannot be more than 11.
Correct.
Then to the right of the two-hour break, across the eight-hour break, to the next two-hour break cannot be more than 11 hours driving.
Correct. I did that, and they said I could not use that two-hour break I took ahead of the 8 hours. I could do it only after the 8 hours, what they're trying to tell me.
No. You take your green reg book in there and ask them in 395.1, where does it say I have to take the two before the eight or the eight before the two?
Great. That saved me a letter.
Oh, good. Well, that's good news though, and let them know that, and again, they can, if they want to, they can go to Ask the Law and they can write that question there, askthelaw.org rather, and write that question specifically, and RJ will get that information back to you. If they want to do that, tell them feel free. Now, you also have to keep in mind that if they have a company policy that prohibits that, then that's different. But as far as the law is concerned, there is your information.
This is something I think they were doing to simplify their own tasks. They got very confusing at that point.
Yeah. Well, and here again, Gary, they're, you know, not every driver out there has the capability of understanding using the new split sleeper berth. When we worked road check in 2007, we wrote a lot of tickets and put drivers out of service that were trying to use the split sleeper berth, and it caught them in violation of the 14-hour rule a lot of the time.
So that two-hour break, if you take the two-hour break first, it can extend your 11 hours of drive time, but not your 14 hours of on-duty time.
Correct.
All right. Correct. There you go.
Well, right. Is there any chance they're going to go back and let us have the two-hour where we stop the clock, or the split sleeper where we can stop the clock for, like, when we're in traffic or in L.A.? You know, it, to me, it's just asinine. I'm an old bus driver. I drove transit bus for years and charter bus. You know, and we're sitting there with a, I consider, more valuable property, and we're able to run under the old rule, and everything worked just fine on that. But then we get over here, and we got to run a straight through 14, and it just kills you when there's times that just, it's better to take that two-hour or three-hour or four-hour break in the middle there, stop the clock, and restart after traffic split up.
Yeah, and that's something that I did support as well. I loved the fact that drivers could stop that clock by getting in the bunk and getting some rest, more frequent rest breaks throughout the day. But there is no information that tells us that any of that is going to change. There is nobody talking about that. I know people would like it to change, but there's no information as of yet if that will change. If they move to make this a law and not a rule, the hours of service is a rule, not a law. If they take that to Congress, then I'm certain some, you know, a great number of changes could come our way. But that's, again, way, way, way in the distant future, and we'll let you know if it happens. We do appreciate it. Hey, listen, Gary, we're going to put you on hold and get you one of our holiday prize packs. We do appreciate you calling in. Stand by as we get your information here during the break. So a lot of wishful thinking going on out there, and I guess we could all, you know, try and tailor this to our needs and applications. But the fact of the matter is, no information as to if that's going to happen. There's no movement there at all.
No, there's no moving. And one of the things that when FMCSA sits down and writes a rule, they have to write a rule that will cover all modes of transportation.
Yeah.
And you take certain segments, they like this, certain segments don't like that. It's one size fits all.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, drivers, we're back in just a moment with your questions and Monty's answers. In just a moment, stand by.
It's the Midnight Radio Network. Drivers. Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
The information you hear on this program is accurate as of December 1st, 2008 and can change without notice. And retired senior trooper Monty Dial from the Texas Highway Patrol here for Ask the Law, a service of Old Blue USA, 800-288-9227.
Let's go to Carl on 23 in Michigan. Carl, hi, you're on the Midnight Radio Network and you're on Ask the Law. Hi, Carl.
Good morning. You know, he was talking about that split log a little bit ago. He really got the answer this right here just a minute ago when he was saying that we don't all have the capacity to understand it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I see that quite a bit. My question was, I got myself in a little bit of a predicament with a company here, and I think I'm right, and today I still think I'm right. I did that split like he's talking about with the 8 and the 2. And I had a 10-hour break, and I drove like 4 or 5 hours or whatever it was, and then I took a 2-hour break. And then when I got up to my, I drove again, I got up to my 11, or not even 11, I took 8 hours in the sleeper. According to him, I'm still correct.
That is correct.
Okay. Now, what happens when you get to your 70 hours? I got myself a little predicament as I ran up to my 70 hours till I got to a terminal. And when I got to a terminal, my 70 was up, my 11 was up, my 14 was up. You know, I was kind of like in the water. I showed 15 minutes for fueling my post-trip inspection. And then later on that day, we had a safety test that got in the middle of this where we had to do something to do with hazmat. We had to take a one-hour test, and we had to log it. 1 hour on duty. That all put me over my 70, over my 11, over my, you know, everything. But as long as I'm not driving, can I still go over 70?
Sure, sure. The what you got to remember is thou shalt not drive more than 11 hours. Thou shalt not drive after being on duty 14 hours. And thou shalt not drive after 60 and 7, 70 and 8.
Now where does my 34-hour restart then start with that? Or,
Carl, is you want to start that 34-hour reset soon as you finish that safety meeting or that hazmat test that you took.
Okay.
You want to start that, and by rule, you want to start that before you hit your 70, or can you, if let's say you hit your 70th hour, can you start that 34-hour restart then, or does it have to start before you
reach
70?
No. The only time that you cannot use the 34-hour reset is if you are stopped at roadside and you are driving and you are in violation of the 60 and 7 or 70 and 8.
Okay.
At that point, you have to get yourself back legal.
Right.
But if you stop before you reach the 70th, or if you've worked beyond the 70th and you have not driven, then you can start the 34-hour reset at any time.
All right. Carl, we're going to put you on hold and get you a prize pack, so stand by as David will get your information during the break, and we do appreciate your call, 800-288-9227.
Let's talk to Jim on 40 in New Mexico. Jim, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. Welcome. Hi.
I'm glad you got into this hours of service, because that's my kind of my specialty. I drove for too many years, way too many years. I was in the safety department, and I taught a lot of this, and it's very, very, very confusing. But one thing the trooper said that I'm not sure I agree with is, if you're going to start your restart, you have to start it after you complete that training and can actually, at that point, log off duty. That's where your 34-hour restart starts, not when you came off duty, so that you're taking that hour and a half or 2 hours of training out of that 34 hours.
That's exactly what he said, though.
Okay. Well,
you may have misunderstood, yeah, but that's what he said.
I may.
Yeah.
The next thing is that if you recall why we lost the split birth time was when the lawsuit came down, mm-hmm. one of the things that that was in violation of the procedures was that they did not do or provide to the courts any scientific research supporting the hours of service rules right. as they were promulgated.
Right, right, right.
So
they wanted more information on that, right.
Right, they had to have more information on that, and when they provided that information, the research said they need 8 hours contiguous break. Therefore, they took the split bunk out,
yeah.
and that's why I don't think the split bunk will ever come back into being because yeah. it's based on the scientific research.
Right, right, right. And we do appreciate it and your comments, but we're out of time. Thank you so much.
It's a Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network. Eric Harley, Gary McNamara, and Ask the Law.
Senior Trooper Monty Dial, the Texas Highway Patrol.
Retired.
Is here answering your questions at 800-288-9227. The show is live December 1st, 2008. All of our answers are up to date and may change without notice. And Ask the Law is a service of our friends at Old Blue USA. AskTheLaw.org is their website. If you want to go to the website, you can do that and submit a question anytime, 24/7. Let's get back to your calls at 800-288-9227.
Let's get to Carl on 23 in Michigan. Carl, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network, and you're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Yeah, you put me on hold.
Okay. All right. We're supposed to get him. Supposed to get him the yes. David Carl on 20 on line number 4 gets the holiday prize pack. I knew it. He looked familiar.
Maybe in that time you came up with a new question. Who knows?
Let's go to Bruce on 40 in Arkansas. Bruce, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. Welcome. Hi.
Hello. I'm sorry. I almost fell asleep here. I've got a question in regards to medical waiver. Has there been any changes in that in regards to the physical that you have to go through for an orthopedic doctor and then go to another doctor for the DOT physical?
No, as long as the doctor is qualified to perform the DOT physical, that is all that's required.
Okay, because I remember calling in before, and I asked the regional guy that was issuing the waiver, and he said that I had to go to a orthopedic doctor, and then I had to go to another doctor for the DOT physical.
Well, what?
And I'm like, my Lord.
Well, now, what has to happen, Bruce, is if you go to a doctor, and the doctor will not pass you on the DOT physical, you can apply for a waiver through FMCSA.
Right.
They will come out and do what's called a skill performance evaluation.
Right. I've done all that.
Once you have the SPE in your hand, you in turn now go back to the doctor and provide the doctor with the SPE. They will take and give you the DOT physical. This time they will certify that you have passed, but you have to carry the waiver. They will check a box on there that says you are qualified under DOT regulations, but you have to it's been done with the medical waiver.
Right. Well, and you know, now that's another question I had too, because in the 15 years that I've been driving, I have never been asked by a DOT man to see my medical waiver.
Well, you actually get that. It's just implied. In other words, let's say when you were in service, Trooper Dial, if you pulled a driver over and you look to see their CDL, you can't get that CDL without that medical waiver. In other words, the fact that he has a CDL tells him that that applies or not.
No.
Is there something that is indicated on the CDL?
No. It's indicated on the actual medical certificate.
Okay.
Right.
And there's a box that is checked. If the driver is stopped and the box is checked that says he is qualified with the medical waiver, he's got to have that medical waiver in his possession.
Okay.
If he doesn't, he's out of service.
All right. So that box is on the CDL?
Yes. No, it's on the medical certificate, not the CDL.
Right. Okay. And And so you've never been asked to see your medical certificate, huh?
Never.
Wow. Interesting. Always good to have it, because that one time that you're asked and you don't have it, of course, that's when you're going to hit that wall. 800-288-9227.
Let's talk to Kelly on 55 in Tennessee. Kelly, hi. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Kelly. Welcome.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, I have a question about the fueling on your logbook law.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, now does it have to be within 24 hours or within the hour, or how does that work now with the new law?
As far as what?
As your timing on how close you have to be on, you know, like if I fuel at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, do I have all that day, or do I have to, like, fuel between 2 and 4?
No, there...
Or do I have to be right on at 3 o'clock?
No. What happens, Kelly, is you log the time that you are operating under. As an example, if you are operating under the Eastern time zone, and you are in, let's say you're in Arizona, and you stop and purchase fuel, you're going to log the fuel under your home terminal's time zone, not the time zone that you're purchasing the fuel in.
Okay, because I've been out here for 19 years, and it's like, these new laws are driving me crazy. It's like, oh, my gosh, give me a truck and let me go.
Well, yeah, there's no reason. I mean, there's no wonder that there's so much confusion out there, and which is why, Kelly, we bring this program to you every month now, and because we've been doing it since the 90s. And in the many years that we've been doing it, we still have a lot of confusion. And, of course, we've had a few changes between then and now, and that brings on even more confusion.
Okay.
We appreciate it. Hey, Kelly, stand by. We're going to get you a prize pack. So stand by. We're going to put you on hold there and go back to the phones at 800-288-9227.
Talk to Dwayne in 80 in New Jersey. Dwayne, hi. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
How are you this evening?
Good.
I wanted to ask the trooper... If I've been driving for over 30 years, the largest portion of that time was hauling a refrigerated trailer, dealing with the produce industry as well as other industries. But there are many times that brokers and shippers put us as drivers. For instance, we drive a couple of hours to the shipper. We're in the dock for, say, 4 to 6 hours. And then they want you to be to your first stop, say, 650 miles down the road, within a 12-hour time span from the point that you are loaded. Well, this is going to put you in violation of your 11- and 14-hour rule, but they expect you to accomplish this anyway, regardless of whatever your hours are. Is there any effort within the enforcement community or within the FMCSA to address any kind of penalties or assessments with these shippers and brokers to educate them in regards to hours of service, or to penalize them when they put a driver in a position of meeting a schedule that puts him in violation of hours of service?
Dwayne, you and probably every other truck driver out there that is involved in the produce business are in the same boat. And us in law enforcement, we understand that, but you've got to understand, most law enforcement are going to do their job.
I understand that, and I appreciate
Unfortunately, Where the problem lies is FMCSA does not regulate the brokers, the shippers, or the receivers. And until you can get legislation passed or get rules passed to where we can go in and cite a shipper or cite a receiver or cite a broker for deliberately forcing a driver to violate the hours of service, it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
I can appreciate your all's position. It's just, it's a point that needs to be addressed, I believe. You know, the drivers are continuously put in a position where we can't win.
Sure.
We're trying to make a living.
Yeah.
We're trying to comply to the law.
Right. Well, and it becomes more difficult now because of the leaner times. When there's less freight out there, you guys and gals are out there grabbing for whatever you can get in order to stay loaded, so it's harder to turn down a load, because my advice in the past would be, then the driving community needs to be a little more diligent in turning down those types of loads, not dealing with those brokers, those shippers and receivers. But I can't say that right now, given the economic circumstances.
Well, I understand that, and you want to turn it down,
sure,
to be in compliance.
Right.
And then your company says, well, if you can't pull a load, we don't need you.
Well, now, if your company says one thing, now, if it's a carrier, there is something,
yes,
that can be done as far as the law is concerned.
Yes. If it's a situation where the carrier is forcing you to violate the hours of service, then the carrier can be turned in. And FMCSA can come in and actually enforce civil penalties up to $10,000 per violation.
Right.
But
well, just, you know, the point of the problem is, in my opinion, and it's strictly my opinion.
No. And here again, Dwayne, your point is very well taken. But here again, what needs to happen is we need to get everybody on board and request FMCSA step up and actually regulate the shippers, the receivers, and the brokers so that we do not have this forced dispatching.
Right, right. Well, that's the old adage for over 30 years. You can't get two truck drivers to stand together.
Yeah, well.
You got independent opposing union and LTL drivers.
Sure, sure.
Nobody will ever stand together to make any changes to make it worthwhile.
Well, if we did, things would change, and we do appreciate your call. Unfortunately, we have to go to a break, and we do understand it. You know, I hate to say it, but, you know, we do hear that quite a bit here on the program. Back to you in just a moment. Stand by.
It's the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law.
And retired senior trooper Monty Dial of Highway Texas Highway Patrol in with us. Don't have time. We're going to just wrap this morning, but let you know that Old Blue USA has got a great website, askthelaw.org, and we'll be here every first Monday of the month. We've got the first 2 hours carved out for you drivers. So, Trooper Dial, have a wonderful Christmas,
yep,
would you?
Yes, I plan on enjoying now that I'm retired, so I don't have to be out there on the road.
Yeah, well, enjoy it, and you've earned it. It's the Midnight Radio Network.